Well, thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. We're going to take communion today. Just before that, I have a couple of notices. Just to say thank you to everybody that's been making phone calls on behalf of church family, for those that have visited, for those that have prayed, for those that have been very mindful of individuals that may be isolated. Thank you, a very big thank you from Susan and myself. And also to say that we've been asking Jean to put teaching recordings online from part of the organisation that we are part of, Ministers Fellowship Global. This week in particular has been recordings that would have been part of an annual conference, but it obviously was cancelled. And so we thought we'd share those ministry tapes with you. Some of them, most of them are for leaders, but we hope you got some useful things out of that. And from time to time, as the MFG family shares with us, then we want to share with you so that we can extend the blessing. Also to say that we have two more grandchildren that have arrived, the twin girls. You'll have to speak to Susan about names, pronunciations. I know there was only about 2.5 pounds. They was about 10 weeks premature. But God is gracious. They're doing well. They are asking for our prayers and they're thankful for our thoughts. So be mindful, church, if you wouldn't mind lifting me and my family up, my son Daniel and his partner Law and their two baby girls. Thank you for that. We're going to take communion. So if you want to pause and get yourselves ready for this, then you can press the play button in just a few moments. I'm going to simply say, as we join together in communion, you know, on the day that the Lord was betrayed, he took this bread. He said, take this in remembrance of me. And he broke it. And he said, this is my body that's been broken for you. This is an act of remembrance, church. This is something that we do to say, Lord, thank you for being broken for us. And thank you for shedding your blood. He took the cup and he said, drink this in remembrance of me. This is my blood that's been shed for you. Well, church, I want to share some scriptures with you. Now, there's a straightforward theme to this message. There's a straightforward message to this articulation, if you like. And it starts off in Genesis 26. I want to walk you through some scriptures. And although it may seem as if the message is simple in itself, it's still very powerful if we choose to take hold of the truth of what God says to his people. The truth about what the Holy Spirit says about you and about me. The truth about what Jesus asks us to do. So in Genesis 26 verse 3, stay in the land for a while. And if we read in Genesis, we'll see that Isaac is being given an opportunity here to be blessed by God. Simply says this in verse 3, stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants more numerous than the stars and the sand on the seashore. And he says to Isaac, I will be with you. And that's what I want to talk about today. I will be with you. God says that he will be with us. In Genesis 26, verse 24, it goes on again. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God, the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. And while we can't meet together, we are focusing on who we are, what God says about us, how we react in this opportunity that we're being given. Yes, we see it as a lockdown. Yes, we know it's a pandemic. Yes, we know that there's tragic loss of life. But we are the salt, we are the light. We are God's people. And I want us to know who we are and what God says about us. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid. for I am with you. I will bless you, and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of your servant Abraham. God says it again. Do not be afraid. I am with you. In Genesis 48:21, goes on to Israel. Then Israel said to Joseph, I'm about to die. You just get the picture here. He's lived a long and fruitful life. He's seen many things, good and not so good. And here he is, Israel, talking to Joseph. And he says, I'm about to die, but God will be with you. And the word you there isn't about people, isn't about a multitude like we read before. It's an individual. That the root of that word is I will be with you, individual. And God's word is true. He will be with us, his people, but he will also be with you, his child. I will take you back to the land of your fathers. In Exodus 3 verse 12, God's talking again. Let's go up a bit further. This is the call of Moses. Moses was given a task. I just want to read what God says to Moses and Moses' response. Start from verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering. Now, this was written a long time ago, but it's still true today. God is concerned about the suffering of his people. He hears our cries. He hears the cries of those that are suffering around the world. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land and into a spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me. I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. The reason I read further up from this portion of scripture, not just concentrate on the couple of words that I want to really drive home today, is because we need to get the context of what is happening here. When we heard earlier about Isaac, the Lord says, I will be with you. Israel, I will be with you. And here we have Moses being asked to be a vocal, a voice piece for God. And verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? And there may be opportunities these days, these weeks, these months, these years ahead that God may ask you to do something. And you might be like Moses. Who am I? Who am I? Verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And that's the truth for me and you today. It's still relevant today. God will be with us. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And we know the story of how God performed miracle after miracle. And remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the I am, who sent me, I am. Well, God is your I am, and God will be with you. So this is a message I want to bring to us today. I want to encourage us with these words, just to refocus on what God says from Genesis right through to Revelation. I will be with you. I will be with you, my people, and I will be with you, individual. Just put your name there. Maybe you're feeling isolated at the moment, not just because of coronavirus, but just isolated. God will be with you. Maybe you're feeling oppressed. God will be with you. Maybe it's a time to celebrate and rejoice. God will be with you. I myself will be with you, God says, because I've promised. God's word says that he'll never leave us or forsake us. In Joshua 1. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a message from me and you today. I will never leave you or forsake you. Then he goes on to say this. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors that I will give them. Be strong and very courageous. Now, we know that there was an individual task for an individual person, but God still says that to you and me today. Be strong and be very courageous, because he has a plan for my life and your life, doesn't he? He does, and we'll get onto that a bit later. He has work for me and you to do. We are to rest in his presence. We are to acknowledge who he is. We are to receive the goodness that God gives us, and we are to share it with other people. Be strong and very courageous, verse 7. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful. One of the ways of being successful is to see what God's word says and do it. The Bible says, be hearers of the word and be doers of the word. So let's just not hear and not do, let's hear and do. So as we look through the Bible, we see the things God has called us to do. He's called us to be holy. He's called us to be righteous because of his righteousness. Now we can lay hold of that righteousness through faith. We've been redeemed, we've been set free, but it's our responsibility to keep a clean heart, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's our responsibility. God wants his people to be holy. We can't just accept his goodness and live life the way that we want to live life. We are to be strong and courageous, and we are to be faithful or full of faith, and we are to be careful to obey the things God has called us to obey. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now we talk about keys. We hear many preachers use that word. Four spiritual keys to prosperity. Four spiritual keys to health and well-being. But one of the keys that God gives us in his word is simply this. Be strong, be courageous, I will be with you, obey the things I call you to obey. So it's an encouraging word, it's a challenging word to be who God has called us to be. In Judges verse 6, an angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat. Now, if you haven't read the story of Gideon, then I urge you to do so. I urge you to read this story. God calls this man to do something on his behalf. Just listen to the words of Gideon. First thing, Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. And now that's something that doesn't happen. Wheat is normally threshed on the mountaintop so that the wind, when they lift the chaff and the wheat in the air, the chaff is blown away by the wind. In the wine press is down the bottom of the valley, the bottom of the hill, so when the crop is picked, it's easy to take it downhill, not uphill. So here we find a man who is threshing wheat in a wine press. It makes his life difficult, but he's there because he's afraid. He's there because he's fearful of the Midianites. He's fearful of the enemy coming to rob, steal and kill. Listen to what happens. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Here's a man who is fearful. And this is his reply. I find it extraordinary. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with me, why has all this happened? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have. Save Israel out of the Midianites' hand. I am not send, am I not sending you? Gideon goes on to say, pardon me, Lord. He replied, but now how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. Moses says when he was sent, God had sent him. Remember, God had asked him to go. When God asks us to do something, he will back it up with his awesome right hand. He would back it up with his power. I will be with you. Moses says, who am I? The Lord says in reply, I will be with you. Be strong. Be courageous. The same with Gideon. Who am I? I am the weakest. I am the least. God says, use the strength that you've got. So during this time of being absent from friends, not being able to do what we call the normal things, use the strength you already have to work with what God has already given you. Am I not sending you, God says? Even though you may feel like the weakest, God's answer to you is the same as it was to Gideon. I will be with you. So whatever your circumstance, church, whatever your situation, God is with you individually and us collectively. God wants to bless us. He wants us to be a blessing so that we can bless those around us. Because there is a job to do, isn't there? For me and Susan, we're preparing our lives. We're getting things ready here. I'm doing about 6 years worth of DIY jobs so that I'm available to do whatever God asks me to do when I'm allowed to go out and do it. And hopefully that'll be the same for you. God hasn't finished with us yet, has he? No, he hasn't. He's building the church and he wants us to be strong and courageous. But he wants us to know that he's with us. He doesn't send us out alone. We're not orphans. We're adopted into his family, aren't we? In 1 Kings 11, if you do whatever I command and you walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands, as David my servant did, I will be with you. And I will build a house enduring as the one I built for David. And I will give you, and I will give Israel to you. Here's a promise to a young man here. If you do what is right, I will be with you. And that's the same for me and you, my friend. If we do what is right, God's promise is that he will be with us. That he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. Be strong and very courageous. Whatever it is God is asking you to do right at this moment, be strong and be courageous. But remember, God is with you. Put your name there. That's a message for us this week, is God is with us. In Isaiah 41, so do not fear. It's so easy, isn't it, to allow fear to overtake us? Even though we are Christians, we are followers of Christ, even though we sing the songs and we know the scriptures, there are times that I'm sure for you and the same for me that we can become fearful. We can allow anxiety to overtake. Yet God says in his word time and time again, fear not, do not fear, do not fear. We see men and women do mighty things for God and then the next minute they're running in fear. And yet God says to me and you afresh, I believe, today, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's not just a promise 2,000 years ago. That's a promise today. That's a promise for me and you today that God will be with us. He will be with you. In Jeremiah 1:8, the same theme. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you, I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. Do not be afraid of what the enemy does, what the enemy says, for God will be with you. That's something that I want us to really grab hold of today, that God will be with you. Through the good and the not good, not so good. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Why? because your rod and your staff will comfort me. Your rod and your staff will comfort, correct and direct me. That your presence will be with me. That you are my shepherd and you will lead me into green pastures. You will make me lie down by still waters. You will feed me. My phone is now going, but obviously I'm not going to answer that. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. As we go through into the New Testament and we go into Acts, and I'd like to read from Acts 18:9. So often when we look through scripture, we can start at Genesis and we can end up in Revelation, and God is the same God. He's the same faithful God. He says the same things to us time and time again. Be strong, be courageous, I am with you. On the night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. And here's that word again. Do not be afraid. But keep on speaking. Do not be silent. This is a time for us not to be silent, but to keep speaking. I met with a chap today, and I purchased some stuff off him, and he delivered it to my home. And we was talking about one or two things. And I said to him, oh, don't forget, I owe you for some hose pipe that I had the other week. And his reply was, I'd forgotten all about that. Thank you for being honest. I said, that's fine. I try to live my life that way. And he said, yeah, I know you do. I said, this isn't my day job. My day job is I'm a minister. And he said, I know you are. So God uses us in all circumstances and situations. And we don't think people are watching or people are looking or people are listening, but they are. And God wants us not to be silent at this time, but to keep on speaking. We have an enemy out there, don't we, that's trying to silence us. But my encouragement to you is, whether you speak to someone on the phone, on the doorstep, whether you're ordering something on the phone and you're so frustrated because it's taken you hours to get through, don't stop sharing God's goodness. Allow God to soften your heart. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Remember, he's with us. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be silent. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you, because I have many people in this city. God is in control. And God speaks to Paul the same as he did to Jeremiah, the same he did to Moses, the same as he did to Isaac, the same as he did to Abraham, the same as he did to Noah. Build me an ark, I will be with you. The same as he says to you, I am with you. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. See, God comes to dwell within us. He doesn't leave us to one side. He doesn't stand aloof. He doesn't stand from afar off and say, you go and do that, brother or sister. You go and do that, and I'll hear the report when you're finished. No, God is with us. God is in us. We are that temple. We are that temple. God dwells within me and you. He's always with us. Never forget that. Always remember, in the times of good and the times of not so good, God is with you. God is with me. I have a couple of scriptures I want to read out as I come to a conclusion here. In Matthew 28, it says this, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, on the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped him, but some doubted. Now the 11, they represent me and you. They represent me and you. There will be times where we're lost in worship, and there'll be times where we doubt. And this may be one of them times. Today may be one of them times. This week may be one of them times that you're starting to doubt. But God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. And I want to remind you, church, I want to remind you, individual, that God is with you. And even if you're having doubts, just give them to him, because he lives in you. He walks with you. He watches. He encourages. He rebukes. He corrects. He restricts. He releases. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said. So even to the doubters, he's still speaking, isn't he? Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? I'm the weakest. I'm the least of the least. Why don't you choose someone that's more articulate than me? Someone who's taller than me. Someone who's stronger than me. Someone who's smarter than me. Someone who's richer than me. Someone who has more knowledge of the scripture than me. God says, be strong, be courageous, because I am sending you. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is what we call the Great Commission. Not the lesser commission, but the Great Commission. This is what Jesus said to me and you, and is still saying to me and you today. All authority in heaven and earth by my heavenly Father has been given to me, Jesus says. Now you go. And he tells us what to do. He tells us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all people everywhere everything that I have commanded you. And then he goes on to say this, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So even when Jesus asks us to go and speak to those on his behalf, he won't leave us. We're not alone. God has asked us to go, but he's told us that he's with us, not sometimes, but always. Read the scripture for yourself. Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is with us always to the very end of the age. Ephesians 1 verse 17. I keep asking, Paul says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is what Paul is saying to those that he's addressing in Ephesus. And it's what we can say to one another. It's what we can pray over each other. It's what we can pray for our friends and our neighbours. And maybe these words that I've been saying to you, that God is with you, maybe you don't feel God is with you because you don't know who God is. Well, God says, I'll be there. You call on my name, the name that is above all other names, and I will be there. I will be there in the good and the not so good. So you go, mighty warrior. Use the strength that you already have. And those that don't know who Jesus is, I want to tell you that I want to pray this prayer that Paul has here. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, would be opened. I want to pray that you would receive Christ Jesus as Saviour and as Lord, and know that God will be there for you, that he'll be there to comfort you and to uphold you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. That's my prayer for you, anyone who's choosing to listen to this recording this morning, that you will know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exhorted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heaven in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, powers and dominion. Every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And that God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. God gave Christ to be the head of the church. Christ empowered the church. All power and authority, he says, been given to me. Now you go and you move in that same power. Be strong, be courageous, church. But most of all, my message for us today is God is with you. And there's a song that is a secular song, but I want to play it for you and those that are listening now. Just listen to the words. This is a song by Michael Jackson. But listen to these words. Listen to what he says right at the beginning when he starts to sing. And I want to give you opportunity to ask God into your hearts if you've never done that. To ask Jesus to come and dwell in your heart so that you can know that he's there with you. For those that have maybe drifted a bit, for you to know that God wants to strengthen you, that he'll be there. For those that start to doubt during this time, did God really say, is God really for me? Will I really recover from this? Will God really take care of my needs, my physical, my financial, my emotional, my spiritual? I want you to know that he's there for you. So just listen, before we finish with worship, just listen to these words and just take what it's offering.